Nightlight still in hand by John Court.
John Court to win it.
Going to the Breeders' Cup, wins it by a half under. A good ride by John Court.
John Court to win it.
Good ride by John Court. Good ride by John Court. Good ride by John Court.
This is In the Room with Sean Clancy.
I'm Sean Clancy, and I'm in the room with jockey John Court. The 60-year-old has notched 4,203 wins and over $108 million in a career that began at Centennial Park in 1980 and is still going strong at Oaklawn Park this winter. Court stands tall as the 63rd leading jockey in wins and 53rd in earnings. Stakes wins on the likes of Wise Dan, Will Take Charge, Arch Arch Arch, and Loi de Sanimo have highlighted a stellar career. Joining me in the River D Stable studio is John Court. Welcome to the show, John.
Well, thank you, Sean. It's nice to be here.
Take us back to the beginning. Your dad's an architect. Your mother is a nurse, and you say, "Right, I want to be a jockey." I mean, take us back to the beginning of how all this happened.
Oh boy, we are going back. Let me go to the archives there. Well, ever since I was knee high, riding on the spring horse, I was always saying I wanted to be a jockey. So I am that guy that followed his childhood dream through school, and my father and mother had horses in the backyard, pleasure horses, but it wasn't too far down the road. We had thoroughbreds that were retired at Hunter Jumper Farms, and I was always over there doing odd jobs, making a couple bucks, working after school. And from that point on, when I was old enough to drive and out of high school, I went right to the track and as an exercise rider when I showed up, still learning. And then within a year and a half or two, I can't remember the exact time being around the tracks, I took my license out and started riding races. Here I am today.
Wow, that's an amazing journey. Take us to, how did you get to Centennial Park in Colorado? You grew up in Florida. How did you get there? Somebody say, come on, let's go to Colorado, or how did that happen?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I had some connections across the country that were well into horse racing, and I was invited out to Colorado at Centennial, and immediately got on the track to gallop. I think that the fact I went to Colorado was what with my research, and I always felt like even though I was on the farms around Ocala, Florida, galloping horses and breaking yearlings horses that were turnout, and then they'd send them back to the track, they always said, well, when you come to the track, like at Miami, if I started Gulfstream, I would have to start at the bottom at the track, and maybe before they let me gallop at the track, I would start walking hot, and they would see if I had the skills and I could work my way into the saddle. And, of course, you know, young and eager as I was, when I was told you could come right to the track here and we'll just put you galloping horses right away, well, that was the avenue I pursued with the opportunity to travel to other tracks, which I ventured through Arizona at Turf Paradise and then on to Santa Anita as a gallop boy and worked my way back. And on my way back through the country working towards the East Coast, I picked up Centennial on the way back and figured as good a time as any to start riding some races before I worked my way back. Ended up in Louisiana and Kentucky and Florida, and pretty much kept Kentucky and Arkansas as the circuit I enjoyed the most. So it seemed competitive, and it was lucrative enough for me as a rider. So that's how I got here to this day, still pursuing that, even though my career has taken me to other racing venues across the country. I've come back to my original circuit, and that's Kentucky, and as well as Louisiana, and definitely Arkansas.
And no doubt, I mean the career you've made from Centennial to the circuit you're on now. I mean, when did you think, wow, I've made the big stage? I mean, was there a time that when you got to a place like Churchill Downs and kind of looked around and said, wow, I've made it, or what was that journey like?
Oh, yeah, definitely. When I got to Churchill Downs, I remember as a child watching the place and just the nostalgia and the history there. It definitely resonated within me. And then when I was able to not only win races, but move on up into winning stakes races and then graded races, that's when I thought, well, I made it. It didn't come easy, and I kind of considered it was something I had to carve out over the course of the decades. But it's been such a thrill to be able to pull off these high-caliber races and ride these, even at the low end, where you're riding claiming races and then you see yourself riding graded races, that the thrill is always there, and I just continue to pursue it. As long as I'm competing and producing the results that my owners and clients are looking for, it's keeping the game real and fun and very enjoyable.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, what's the motivation these days? Is it, you know, just winning or the competing or the numbers? I mean, do you look at the numbers and say, I want to try to climb even higher than I've already gotten? What motivates you today?
I would say it's a combination of all of it, to be honest with you, Sean. The numbers, I definitely like to improve them, but sometimes I always consider, well, I'm not in a position to turn away such business, and I do hold the Northern Hemisphere trifecta record of riding long shots. So just the competitiveness is probably what keeps me the enjoyment and staying competitive. That really is probably one of the biggest motivations. And I'd have to say the fact that the excitement of the competition is just still as real as it is today as it was 40 years ago.
Wow. Have you ever been close to retiring? I mean, has there been a time where you're struggling or injuries or different something happened where you think, man, maybe I've had enough? Have you ever come close to that?
Absolutely. I've been in situations even last year at this time I thought I was toasted, but I didn't want to go out with injury. I'd like it to be my own doing and my own choices. But, I've entertained the thought of many a time, and I've had other people entertain it for me, for that matter. But to be honest with you, it is something I know that I'm in my golden years of riding, but I don't really have any plans to retire anytime soon. But I know at riding at 60 at this level, it's right around the corner. I just hope that the day will come that I'll recognize it's time to step down and do it gracefully.
Yeah, the most important thing is to retire on your own terms, I think. I mean, I was able to retire basically on my own terms. I was, had injuries, but I was kind of getting to the point where I'd had enough. But and that's something I think that's important for all jockeys, to be able to retire on your own terms.
Yeah, I like that. You did it impressively, too, by the way, I will say. I enjoyed watching you ride. And I was telling someone the other day about some of you guys in the jocks room. That was pretty interesting, and I enjoyed that back in the day.
Yeah,
you guys would stroll through there, and then we'd watch you guys ride, and I was like, they think us flat jockeys are crazy.
Yeah, exactly. I'll never forget sitting in the sauna in Saratoga, and Chip Miller said to me, he said, man, what are you doing today? I took a big, long, deep breath. I said, man, I got to do 42. I'm dying, 42, man. And Mike Smith and Santos, and they fell off their stools laughing. Yeah, 42. We had a good laugh. But for you, what are the scales like? Is that an issue? Is that a fight every day? Or what's your weight situation
like? It had been at one time when I was expected due to light, and then I wanted to meet that expectation. But then they've also adjusted the scale weight over the course of the years, and that's been beneficial. Plus, I've just decided one day I'm not going to beat myself up because it was just too costly. And that would have probably been one of the things that have taken me out, was just constantly reduced. But I'm naturally kind of small. I've got a stocky frame, and I'm able to make the weights to this day, and I'm comfortable. And just with the course of years, it's people ask me about diet. And really now it's a way of life. I do diet. I did diet. But I don't think of it as dieting now because it's just a way of life. It comes natural for me. I don't fill my plate up, and I don't go back for seconds. And I eat very minimal of I know what my body needs. And when I can enjoy what I'm eating and then know that I've had enough, even though I want to continue, I assure you that, I just pull up. I've had people ask me, how do you just pull up? It's a way of life now. It's really no discipline. But it's just something that comes natural.
No question. It's important. I think that is a big struggle for everybody when you ride, and the dieting part will really wear you out. It just kind of takes your ability and takes kind of just draining on you. So it makes a big difference to continue the way you've continued. Who were your heroes growing up? I mean, who were the guys you looked at, the jockeys out there? You said, man, I want to be that guy, or try to mold your style to. Is there somebody that really stood out?
Oh, yeah, there was a variety of riders. And one thing that I did learn at a young age, when I say young, I was in a decade into racing, you always have these riders that do stand out, and you want to emulate their style and everything. But everybody, to the minute level, develops their own style. So I would just take certain riders, just the way they think, the style, the way they would, their hands, they sit on a horse, and kind of mix it up and try to apply my skills the way from the way I would sit on a horse to the way I'd I did all applied all my skills. And over the course of the years, I know people, they're always asking me about the Hall of Famers and the most popular riders. But I actually was able to, over the course of the year, riding with some really sound, good riders that are maybe not as popular, that were that had ingrained some really essential qualities in me. And one of them, like right here in Arkansas, was Larry Snyder. He's, you know, passed away. But he had a lot of an integrity and drive to the way he applied his skill. And I realized that that had ingrained in me more so than the Jerry Baileys or Pat Days or even John Velasquez still rides to this day. And these are guys that you definitely are proven and are established and Hall of Famers that you continue to admire. But there's a variety of riders that I would really put together. Even the late Garth Patterson, he had sure. such a style. And that you just never knew about Garth. He would get the run and do things that were just incredibly impressive. And I'm constantly finding that in riders that maybe are overlooked by the public, and some horsemen do notice. But generally, there's no one particular rider that I've had to follow and try to emulate.
Do you see young jockeys today where you just want to kind of grab them and give them some advice? I mean, you've lasted all these years and done it the right way. Do you look at young kids and think, man, you're squandering a gift, or kind of look at it like a mentor?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got some riders that do come to me, and it's admirable that they'll want to sit down and even want me to watch their videos and really dissect it. And I'll try to encourage them in any and every way I can. And then, of course, as you well know, that everybody's got different personalities and the ability to receive advice. And I try never basically to ever advise anybody who doesn't ask for it. But at one point in time, I recognized that there was a time to approach a rider, and certainly a time that you do not approach a rider. But this day and age, I rarely ever approach too many riders, because surprisingly, as I was sharing with some people, that now there's more riders coming to me because I think of the seniority position I have and the established career that I've been able to. I mean, I haven't got the best in numbers, but I always went into this game wanting longevity. And I'd love to have shot to stardom, such as Steve Coffin was a hero. But at the same time, I'm not sure if I could have been able to pursue that kind of excitement as it would have been. But I don't know if I'd still be around, because I can look back, and a lot of those guys that have accomplished such numbers didn't really make it into their 60s. So I feel really good. I'm still riding. And I think one of the things I did is I was able to pace myself, if that can be said, because you know how tough this game can be. You can be pacing yourself and feeling great, and then just one horse can make you feel sidelined and chronically labored up. But, I feel fortunate that I'm still competing at this age. And, you know, there are riders that come to me for advice and ask me to watch them ride or review their films.
Yeah, that's important. I mean, that's a good role to have and be a mentor for young guys. And I think it's important. You got to do it your way. I mean, I think that's one thing I learned with my career. I'd watch somebody and you think you want that career, but ultimately at the end you realize that, you know, you got to do it your way. I mean, it's how it turns out for you. You've ridden in four editions of the Kentucky Derby, a big effort this weekend from Last Samurai. It's a long shot, but he's in the Arkansas Derby. How important would it be to get back to the Derby?
Oh, that'd be really important. I would absolutely love it. That's what allows me to continue to pursue this dream at this stage of my career. And I started it when I was young, and I've seen a lot of horses that I qualified for the Derby, but I've only made it there four times. So I'll just continue to pursue this dream as long as I'm able to throw a leg over the saddle and wear the white pants.
Oh, that's important. When you look back at your success, your career, how much of it is luck and how much of it is chalked up to hard work or talent? I mean, how do you kind of judge the two?
Well, you know, we're always pursuing Lady Luck, you know, and I'm trying to pursue Lady Luck's sister. She got to have a sister out there and a niece or whatever, but we're all in the pursuit of luck. But at the same time, you have to trump it up to hard work, dedication, and the commitment to hard work. Yeah, that's you just keep showing up with the right attitude and the right frame and bring your A game, and the magic happens.
So a combination of the two, a little bit of luck and a lot of talent or a lot of hard work, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, combination. Hey,
exactly. Hey, that's John Court, still going strong at 60, a class act all the way. All the best, John. Thanks for being on the show.
All right, Sean. Thank you for having me. You guys have a great day.